Hey friends, I have some great news. You are experiencing today, May 13th, 2021, the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. Now, my co-host on this is Chief Todd LeDuc of LifeScan Wellness Centers. And beginning today and every Thursday, Todd will be bringing on a guest. I will co-host with him to talk about preventive health measures, what we can do, people's experiences with the preventive health and with LifeScan. And of course, as your work-life balance co-host, I will always weave in a little bit of a work-life balance or self-care discussion into the group. I'm very excited to co-host this with Chief Todd. And our first guest today for the very first episode, LifeScan Learning Lab Edition, is none other than Chief Dan Kerrigan.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie, and this is the LifeScan Wellness Centers edition, hosted, or I shall say co-hosted, by Todd LeDuc and our special guest today, Chief Dan Kerrigan. Todd, let me turn it over to you.
Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate it. And let me say, on behalf of LifeScan Wellness Centers, we're excited about this partnership and being able to share a whole broad range of firefighter health and wellness and survival with some tremendous guests. So I'm pleased to have a longtime colleague and friend. We have an opportunity to serve together on the IFC Safety, Health, and Survival Board, and I want to welcome Dan Kerrigan as our first inaugural guest to the LifeScan Wellness Center Dr. Donnie podcast episode. So, Dan, welcome, and thank you for agreeing to come on board and be our beta test.
Sure. Well, it's always an honor. I tell people all the time that I'm blessed to be able to participate in these kind of things, and just to be thought of as somebody that maybe you'd want to talk to, you know, like, so I appreciate it. And I hope it can add some value to your mission. You know, it's, as you know, we're all in this for the same thing. And that's just to, you know, as Jim and I say, create a healthier fire service, one firefighter at a time. That's what we're trying to do.
Sure. And that really is, what it's all about, is you know, making sure everyone has a healthy and long service and can enjoy retirement. So, Dan, I know a lot of people are familiar with you, but maybe not your entire story. So maybe if you can tell the listeners and our audience how you got into the fire service and kind of your career path. I know not too long ago, you took over the helm as fire chief of a new department. So maybe if you could just tell us a little bit about your journey.
Sure. So in terms of how I was indoctrinated into the fire service, I half-heartedly tell people that I didn't have a choice. Well, I was born into a family that is predominantly, at least on my father's side of the family, predominantly been firefighters and law enforcement personnel ever since I can remember. So ever since I, you know, I don't know, maybe I was 4 or 5 years old, my first memories were of hanging out at the fire station where my uncle worked and my cousin and my dad volunteered, and just, you know, it's just a fabric, part of the fabric of my life, right? So, you know, between my uncles and my father and my cousins, they've all been either career or volunteer firefighters and or police officers. And so I jokingly say I really didn't have a choice to get involved in it. It's just part of our blood, I guess. So I started as a volunteer like most people do in my teenage years, and And I've been blessed to be able to volunteer and work as a career firefighter in volunteer settings, in combination settings, and in fully career paid fire department settings throughout my career. So I have a pretty wide breadth of experience in terms of the makeup of the departments that I've been involved with. One of them actually was initially my volunteer organization. And then after I moved away and then came back, I went to work full time as a firefighter for my former volunteer organization. So, and being a part of that and the development of a career program there and all that was something pretty special too. So yeah, I've been all around. I've been there. I did some time down in Myrtle Beach Fire Department in South Carolina, down there. Tom Guire is the fire chief there, right? He was a lieutenant on C shift when I was working there. So I relieved him. I was on A shift. So I kind of joke about that too. He's still down there now. He moved his way all the way up, but yeah. And I came back and now I'm here. I have this young fire department that we're growing rapidly and I've got a lot of things going on here, but I'm excited to have the opportunity to sort of move them in the right direction, hopefully.
Well, no, that's a great story. I mean, such a common story, right? Of mm-hmm. you know, kind of the lineage and how we yeah. get the you know service and community in our blood, and it's a great lesson, I think, for you know, kids coming up today that are looking for how to serve their communities and how to make an impact. So. You know, we're blessed and we learn those lessons early in life and then can spend, you know, a good portion of our adult years giving back to the community. So
I've tried a couple times to go into the private sector and it wasn't for me. You know, I always the public safety, the public sector always drew me back and it's where I belong. So here I am.
That's you're doing great work and you know certainly you can tell it's a passion, so we can see that is pretty evident and it's well, obvious you. That you you're making a difference in what we do as a service. I wanted to ask you Dan, how you know you had the fortune to spend a lot of time traveling. You know, the fire service as a whole, again, focusing on making it healthier and safer. You do a lot of work with Jim on functional fitness. Mm-hmm. And you also have served on Safety, Health, and Survival Board with myself and a number of other of our colleagues. And this whole focus, in addition to fitness of early detection and then kind of incorporating the two of them. So you recently actually, with your new department, contracted with LifeScan Wellness Centers to be your provider of firefighter physicals. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that. And I know actually your region now, and I think, you know, you've been mm-hmm. part of promoting that within the region, Chief Dennis Rubin and others in the area. So maybe if you could touch on that a little bit.
Sure. Well, so I think what's important for everybody to understand, and we try to make sure that when we get this opportunity to talk about these things that not on purpose, but people tend to pigeonhole the term fitness into a certain box, right, of going to the gym and working out. And what Jim Moss and I have done through the book Firefighter Functional Fitness and all that, and what we're trying to make sure people understand is that it's one small part of a larger comprehensive holistic approach to firefighter wellness, right? So functional fitness is what we're quote unquote known for, but when we view functional fitness, we view it as physical fitness, we view it as proper hydration, rest and recovery, early detection, sleep, you know, rest, not rest, sorry, nutrition, all of those things, risk factors, all of those things, behavioral health, it's all wrapped up into one package and everything affects everything, right? So when we go out and teach in our workshops and all that, some people might figure that it's all about just working out and that's all we do, but we spend a considerable amount of time talking about all of those topics. So to bring LifeScan into the picture was really a no-brainer for me, having already worked with you and Patricia, and knowing what products you provide, and you know the support that LifeScan has given to the SHS section, and that relationship that has been formed, it was really a no-brainer. I mean, the way I view it, the physical, the medical evaluation is truly the foundation of everything else when it comes to health and wellness, right? You can't have people going and working out or doing bits and pieces of certain components of an overall program when you're not looking at the very base foundation, which is an actual annual, you know, medical evaluation to number one, establish a baseline of health, and then also to be able to monitor that health throughout one's career. And I'll add too, that we, just as much as we work with LifeScan, we also work, we're working with Frontline Behavioral Health now. We're doing that. We work with, we do the NFERS, you know, exposure diary, entries and all that. So it's all a part of it. And I think that it was kind of a no brainer to have, knowing what services you were able to provide and the concessions you made for us in terms of, traveling up here on short notice and so forth. It was great. We did it last year, I want to say September, October, and we're actually, our physicals now, we're shifting the rotation, and we're actually doing them coming up here very end of March into April. So your folks will be back up here very soon. And then we'll keep on that rotation probably going forward. But the whole process was fantastic. Coordinated very well. The folks that come up are very easy to work with and very flexible in their approach. And we had a couple of hiccups here and there with scheduling, and it was like not a big deal at all. So, you know, everything got worked out. And, you know, I just think it's a, like I said, it's one piece of an overall comprehensive wellness program, but for sure the most important piece in my mind, even as a fitness person, it's, this transcends fitness and all the other stuff by far.
You know, you make such a great point, Dan, you know, it is, when we talk about health and wellness and ultimately survival, it is so much interconnected. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the things that drew myself, and I know you've worked with Dr. Donnie before, mm-hmm. You know, to partner is, you know, one piece I think that we often forget is that whole work-life balance and, you know, all those connecting the dots, that itself can be sometimes overwhelming if we don't have it in big perspective. So, and you're right, the, you know, having that thorough baseline assessment really provides you a great opportunity to see where your overall health and wellness right. status is, and then what you have to do to work on it. I wanted to see what your thoughts were. I know that you worked with our, you know, a component of our physical is the exercise physiologist assessment with the NFPA 1583 mm-hmm. assessment around fitness. What were your thoughts? Because you teach kind of not just functional fitness, but that total human performance, I'll say. Mm-hmm. How helpful is that to have a pretty comprehensive annual baseline fitness assessment? So during the course of the next year, knowing, you know, what you need to focus on to improve as a first responder and then, you know, see that incremental change again the following year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's incredibly helful. I mean, as obviously I feel very strongly that fitness is a huge part of the overall approach, and it has to be. I mean, we know what we do when we go out there, and you and I and Donnie and the people that we work with on a regular basis absolutely know what happens to our body systems when we're doing what we're doing. And we certainly know what kills firefighters. And, you know, so from that perspective, I think it's critically important that we focus on fitness that's also related to performance, right? And that's where functional fitness comes in. It's not fitness to develop really big biceps or shredded abs or whatever personal goal you might have in terms of what you look like, but it's fitness for performance and being able to perform optimally at the tasks that we're required to do, not what a football player is required to do or what a gymnast is required to do. But when you look at it organically like that, you'll see very quickly that we have requirements across the broad spectrum of fitness, right? It's all the way across the board, everything from the cardiovascular capacity to the core strength to the flexibility, which is a big one that a lot of folks don't want to talk about or kind of brush to the side in terms of, you know, how that relates to injury prevention and so forth. And then all the functional strength categories, all the, as you know, the pushing, pulling, lifting, carrying, and dragging that we do, it all comes into play. So the 1583 assessment is a good baseline, as you put it. Having done it the first year, basically all that she's doing then is collecting information on everybody and then giving that information back to that individual to say, this is where you stand now. And when I come back here in a year, or in this case, 6 or 7 months, we're going to look at what you showed me last time, and we're going to look at where you are now, and we're going to be able to give you realistic guidance on what you can maybe improve on and go from there. And, you know, we don't stop there. I mean, once I get my new fire station built, I think an even more important thing than that is to also incorporate in our own annual agility test, non-punitive agility tests that maybe requires our firefighters to complete a basic circuit once a year. And then where that we're not, all we're going to do is just say, go do this and get it done. Here's the time that you completed it in. And now you can look at that again, just like the 1583 assessment. And when we do it next year, we can see if you improved or not. So it all ties together. And I think that a lot of the medical evaluation programs that are out there, I don't know that every one of them is also doing the fitness assessment as well. And it's obviously for us is a very important thing. It scared the hell out of my guy. I can tell you my people, they were like, well, coming in my office, like leading up to the physicals, sheepishly coming into my office one at a time, wanting to talk to me about, oh, now what are they really going to make me do? And what's going to happen when I'm like, relax, relax, relax. Not a hard thing. You're just going to do what you do so that we can give you the information you need to improve. So had to talk a few people off the ledge there. But in the end, it actually became sort of competitive, to be quite honest with you. You know, word gets out about how many push-ups did Chief Kerrigan do in a minute, or how many, and then somebody else wants to beat that, or somebody said, well, you're all going to be me because I'm in maintenance mode right now. I'm not looking to be a triathlete or anything, but that kind of positive, reinforcement really kind of blossomed out of the whole thing. It's kind of funny how the output of it was everybody was laughing about it and having a good time about it.
For sure. And I think, you know, you touched an important point, Dan, is kind of the implementation, right? This is non-punitive. This is about continuous improvement. And while we at LifeScan do that very comprehensive 3-hour physical and 1583 assessment with integrating ultrasound imaging, the resources that you and Jim, whether it's the book or the workshops you do, those are the tools to help people build on that throughout the course of the year. So it's really that component. I know, Donnie, you had something you wanted to weigh in on as well.
I did. When you guys were talking about the physical aspect of it and all of that, which is outstanding, is when I relate that to work-life balance, as both you guys know, is that, you know, physical needs are that exercise, the nutrition, everything you were talking about, Dan, everything in your book, right? The rest, the recovery, the hydration, that physical need, it is so important. It's one of those fundamental or foundational principles of work-life balance. Like, you can't really be in balance, have a life of balance, if you're not physically meeting those needs. But then another beautiful thing about it, and you guys know this, after you exercise, what happens to your emotional and psychological state? You feel relaxed, you can concentrate better, right? You can do all the big decisions better.
The mental outputs of a physical activity. look, it's no different than how we feel after we go to a fire and we work hard. Everybody tends to be in a pretty good mood and feeling pretty good after that. That good kind of tired, if you will, mm-hmm. then translates and the working out translates into better sleep patterns, better rest. All of those things really, like I said, just mesh together and create that, as you say, that balance that everybody needs. And I'll say this too, what I get out of the feedback from our department personnel here is that they really appreciate when fire chiefs and administrations demonstrate that they truly care about their personnel. And that's one thing they got, I was determined to make sure they understood was that anything that we're going to implement that you're not doing, it's not done again as a punitive measure. It's done because I truly care about everybody and your families care about you. And we not only want you to perform optimally when you're working, but we want you to be able to have a career and then go retire and enjoy your retirement too. So it's about longevity. And it's really, really important that your folks get that sense of, you know, caring and whatnot from the folks that are running the department.
I think it's also critically important from a leadership perspective that you participate.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's sort of like we say that the medical evaluations are the foundation, but from an attitude and accountability standpoint, you know, attitude, accountability, action, right? From that standpoint, you absolutely have no credibility whatsoever unless you're being a part of that too. And you're demonstrating that you're not asking people to do something that you're not willing to do. And that really, Todd, you'll agree that goes with anything we do in the fire service. You're not going to get away with much being a talking head. You know, you'll be found out pretty quickly. So we absolutely have to, the credibility serves us very well because, you know, hey, maybe some people will listen to this and they'll relate what Todd does or what I do or whatever to what we're asking them to do. And then they'll see that we do it too. And mm-hmm. okay, this isn't just, you know, Dr. whoever from whatever institution telling us what's good for us, but not even knowing what we do for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Dan. And again, you know, you look at, I mean, there's still a lot of departments out there that don't have access to many of these programs, firefighter physicals or behavioral health support or fitness, you know, and some of it's just that how it's presented, right? That it's mm-hmm. you know, it's non-punitive. It's about helping make us stronger and better firefighters. So that's a great perspective that you bring in how you implemented this in your department. You also have, I don't know if you remember a colleague of yours, Bob.
Hannon?
Yeah, Hannon. Would you mind sharing Bob's story? I know you're the one that actually introduced me to Bob. You know, that's a great example of a non-punitive approach. It probably saved Bob's life, but I think you're closer to him, and maybe if you could share that with the listeners, just again, to kind of put it in perspective on why we do some of the things we do for our personnel.
Sure. I mean, to the extent that I know the details, I'll do that. But I can tell you that, well, I mean, personally, I've known Bob for several years, and actually I co-instructed with him at the county training center and his fire department, the West Grove Fire Company down here. Southern Chester County, down closer to Maryland. Jim and I actually went to that department a couple of years ago and delivered a workshop there for their personnel. They've been very proactive about taking care of their folks, which is, you know, even more difficult, I think, in a volunteer organization than it is, you know, a career department. And so I know that, you know, they had been using LifeScan, and I want to say that when they left here last year, that's where they went. So, because you guys all try to coordinate, you know, geographically.
Sure.
And so certainly he, you know, he went through that physical and the ultrasound and all that, and got apparently an anomaly came up. And I, you know, I don't want to speak on that, you know, that personal level with HIPAA and all that, but certainly he related to me that whatever was discovered in the physical was a pretty serious issue, and that he went and had it addressed. And that's really the goal, right? The goal is that early detection. If we can find something that's maybe not right, that you don't even realize that you're carrying, then we can get that fixed, and we can maybe make you better than you were before, or back to where you were before. And without that examination, without that level of detail and attention, you know, you're not going to find it. And I just saw this morning, Bill Carey, our friend Bill Carey, put out another on-duty death notification for apparently a 32-year-old firefighter that they're saying had a stroke. That's just, you know, if that doesn't hit you like right here, I don't know what will. I mean, who deserves to have a, now I don't know the details behind it. We can't save everybody, I guess. You know, certainly there could be congenital things that have been going on with that individual. Who knows? I don't want to speculate, but I think on the surface, I think everybody would agree that nobody at 32 years of age thinks about the fact that they may have a heart attack or a stroke. I think that's a fair statement. So we've got work to do. You know, we certainly do.
And thanks for sharing. I know Bob actually joined myself and a friend of both of ours, Denise Smith, on a Target Solutions webinar not long ago. And he shared with all the listeners that it was actually during his life scan physical during the stress testing. They found that he had a significant blockage to his left anterior descending coronary vessel.
Sure, the Widowmaker, yeah.
Which is called the Widowmaker, right? Because it's typically, unfortunately, the first sign in many cases is sudden cardiac arrest. So, he went through a relatively short course of interventional treatment and get that vessel opened up, and it saved his life. So anytime I see those, one of the, you know, NIOSH fatality reports or U.S. Fire Administration, that's always in the back of my head. Is there something more, you know, as a chief, as a department, as that we could have done or had in place? And I think we are making progress, but, you know, it's folks like yourself and Donnie and others that are, you know, helping kind of get this message out that it's not about being punitive. It's about,
No. You know,
finding these things before, you know, we leave a widow or we leave, you know, children behind without, you know, a parent. So,
I agree that it's not punitive and it'll never be punitive in my mind, but I also feel like that, while that candle is still lit and people pay attention to me before it burns down to nothing and somebody else has to take over, I will be direct and honest and sometimes a little bit forceful about the needs, and I'm not going to like sugarcoat it. Right. So, you know, when you look at those statistics and when you look at that stuff and that, and, you know, the narrative I've been pushing lately is really directed more towards the fire chiefs and the administrators out there, that enough with the excuses. And I don't care. I'll say it that way. Enough with the excuses. When you have a preventative maintenance program for your equipment and your apparatus in place that you've been funding for years and is proven to work, what does it accomplish for you? It accomplishes longer life of your equipment and your apparatus and reduced costs. Well, the priorities need to change in the fire service. And I think they are moving in that direction. I don't want to say that we're not making progress. I think we are, but as fire chiefs and administrators, the priorities need to change. We need to prioritize our people like we do our equipment. And we don't always do that. We find reasons to say that, well, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. But then at the same time, we're putting that money into preventive maintenance programs for the exact same reasons. And it's proven that the return on investment that you get in those situations, yet, you know, Todd, the WFI, program can give you bona fide data that shows you what your return on investment is for wellness programs. And yet we still have all of these barriers that we seem to have to fight to get it through. So I think it's really important for people like me, if I'm going to be in this position, that I that I demonstrate that and try to get other people to kind of come on board. And if I have to be the one to, one of the ones to open people's eyes, then that's what my job is to do, whether it's as a fire chief or as an SHS board member or as a teacher of it or a speaker on it or whatever. That's what I'm here to do.
You know, that's a great point, Dan. And, you know, I had a wise mentor coming up in the service teach me, if you don't have healthy firefighters, you don't have a fire department.
You don't.
And it's,
you
it's,
just have some things that, that you don't have anybody to put on to operate or whatever.
And I think that's important that we don't have it to where, you know, people are replaceable and, you know, don't want to get that attitude that people are replaceable.
Exactly.
I do think you're right. It is changing. I know from when I came in the service and when you came in the service, we're focusing much more than ever before, I believe, on our firefighters' health, wellness, and survival. You know, you pointed on the wellness fitness initiative. There's some great data out there from RAND Corporation as well on just the cost on how much more fiscal sense it makes to find, never mind you're going to have a much better outcome, but to find, you know, whether it's a heart issue or God forbid a cancer, is to find it early. It, you know, sure, you're going to have an employee that survives or a firefighter that survives, but
right, number one, they get to live. That's a great thing.
Right. And then, you know, but from the fiscal side, you know, it makes more fiscal sense to have a preventative program, like you mentioned, like we do for our apparatus, for our own firefighters. So, you know, I think, you know, you and I both said you'd never think of getting into a, you know, an apparatus that doesn't have working brakes or the tires are bald. And we should look at our firefighters the same way and invest in their health and wellness. So,
absolutely. Great analogy. Yeah. I mean, we have to be leaders in this fight. And if I have the opportunity to demonstrate that with the programs we have in place here at our department, and if somebody else can take that and model it, then I think that's what we're supposed to do, where that whole pay it forward thing is really, it means a lot more than just words. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to work with the folks that I work with and have access to the information that we have. And then, you know, on my side of the fence, to be able to have the support both financially and just theoretically and organically, that's the approach we want to take, is people first, and makes it a lot easier to do this job. It really does.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, your willingness to share that and share that insight and those thoughts, you know, is making a difference. So, you know, it's when we figure something out and we know it works, is sharing that so others don't have to recreate the wheel. And thank you for what you're doing. I know we're short on time, so I want to be mindful of everyone's time. Dan, did you want to touch a little bit on your book as well? I know that's a tremendous resource that departments and individuals can use to help guide them in their journey.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll say this, I appreciate that LifeScan uses it and, you know, and provides it to all their exercise physiologists and so forth. I think it's, you know, in that case, I think it's a really good way of having people that maybe aren't directly associated with the fire service kind of learn how to talk to firefighters and understand the why behind what we do and why things are important and how to get that across and in ways that firefighters can understand it and apply it to their job. Right. But it's just, I like to think it's just Jim and I talk about this a lot, that I feel like it just filled a gap at the time, that just, there was nothing really like it that existed in the fire service, which was, the more we got into it, kind of a head scratcher for me anyway. Like, I wonder why. My biggest fear was that we would get like 95% done the book and then something would come out that looked exactly like it. And we would be like, okay, well, why did we do all that? but really there wasn't. But I think firefighter functional fitness, we're blessed to have a lot of support on the organizational level, the firefighter level, not just in North America, but around the world. It's in 40 or 50 countries around the world. Thankfully, we're happy to say continues to be a number one or close to number one bestseller, even after almost 5 years on Amazon. But the point is that it speaks to firefighters directly in a language that they can understand, that's practical. And it doesn't just cover working out. It covers that whole gamut. There's 22 chapters, I believe, in that book, over 350 pages of information that you can use now and well into the future. It belongs in your gym bag, not on your coffee table. It belongs dog-eared, highlighted, and all that stuff. It's a working resource. So, you know, and we love to teach off of it. We go out and we do our workshops. We're always looking to work with fire departments that would like us to come out directly and present our workshops with their folks, whether they're trainers or just the general population of the fire service. It doesn't matter. It applies to everybody, but we're also con ed providers. I mean, so we're con ed providers that give credits for ACE trainers and peer fitness trainers. So you can recertify through us. And actually in Florida, we're registered at all of our programs are registered specifically in Florida as con ed for fire instructors as well, through your own Bureau of Standards, I think you call it, right? Isn't that what
it is? Yeah.
Right. So we try to add value to everything that we do. And again, I just appreciate you letting me mention it. You know, it. Hopefully, it just speaks for itself. I mean, I can tell you all day how much I like it. But
it's a tremendous resource, and that's why I wanted you to touch on it. And as you mentioned, and I know you're aware of a bunch of our colleagues working with myself have the Surviving the Fire Service. And
yes, which is another tremendous resource.
Yeah, and those two books are, as you point out, you know, we share with all of our clinical teams. So our nurse practitioners, our ultrasound technicians, and our exercise physiologists, because as you said, it really provides a deep dive for them within not just the different areas of the fire service, but the culture of the fire service as well. And that's so important when we're talking about encouraging people to make lifestyle changes and health changes. And so thanks all the work that you and Jim have done on that front.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're not, you know, it's important that we stay humble and realize that what you and I and everybody else out here that we're talking about is trying to do is just help firefighters. And that's all we want to do. And we're very forward in saying that if our resource isn't what works for you, but somebody else's is, as long as you're, that's fine with us too. There's plenty of room in the sandbox here. There's no competition per se. To improve firefighter health and wellness. This is not competition. This is everybody working together for the same ultimate goal of like dramatically reducing on-duty deaths. And the only way we're going to do that, the only way we're truly going to impact on-duty death reduction is through the health and wellness, through the stress and overexertion category. All the rest of that is really, I mean, we can still do better than we do sometimes, but I think from an operational standpoint, we do pretty well given the level of risk that we have to take in our job. We're going to impact it in health and wellness. That's what really where we're going to impact it.
Sure. And it definitely, I couldn't agree with you more. It's all hands on deck when it comes to that. And a lot of folks before us and with us, and I'm sure after us, will continue that mission. Mm-hmm. So what? Well, I want to, Dan, thank both you and Donnie for your time today. It's been, I think, you know, tremendously insightful on some of the work that's being done and, you know, that we need to continue to shine that light on as we continue to make inroads in firefighter health and wellness and survival. Donnie, you had some thoughts?
I do. Yes. And Dan, of course, I could not let you go without asking you, how's the work-life balance going? It's been probably about 6 months. You were on episode number 4 of the Get Ready podcast. So, so how's that going? The wife, the two girls?
I mean, you know, if I used last week as an example, probably not so good because of the things we shared with each other before we started here. But, you know, we know that things happen in the fire service and we have to be prepared for those. And sometimes that means longer hours, odd hours and so forth, but that's part of what we do. But I think that in general, I think we've been doing well. We just got back. I don't know, like Todd mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we went down to Clearwater. We had a nice little getaway just to get out of the area, caught a couple of Philly spring training games, visited with some friends that we hadn't seen in a while, just went somewhere else, you know, and warm too, which was good. And so, you know, like yesterday we were working on planning a summer vacation. And for me personally, I've been trying to just continue what we discussed before and step away from some of the obligations that I've had for a long time and transition out of some things as I feel like I can and narrow my focus a little bit. The job here, we've got a lot going on here, requires a lot of attention. You know, between building a fire station, specking a fire truck, you know, hiring a bunch more people, all of these things that are going on all at once. I've got mergers and consolidations I'm dealing with, and that requires my attention. So that means that I'm stepping away from other things that take me away from my family at night as much as I can and reducing that other workload so that I can still maintain that focus. So it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's not like you snap your fingers and, oh, it's all fixed, you know, but I like to think I'm moving in the right direction.
It always ebbs and flows. That's what it's all about. Yes.
Sure. For sure.
Thanks for asking.
Dan, I want to thank you again for your time today and your insights and helping us kick off this series, which hopefully will be very successful. And
I'm sure it will, and it's been my pleasure. I appreciate you thinking on me.
Absolutely. So until I guess we'll see each other at our board meeting later this week. Until then, stay safe, stay well, and thanks again. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys do the same.
Thank you, guys. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.